Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome to Food for the Journey on this very holy Thursday. Pope Emeritus Benedict says of this day, "When the Lord of the world comes and undertakes the slave's task of foot washing, which is an illustration of the way he washes our feet all through our lives." You know, we have the foot washing ceremony today on Holy Thursday. Notice what Benedict says. It's an illustration of the way he washes our feet all through our lives. We have a totally different picture. God doesn't want to trample on us. He kneels down before us so as to exalt us. The mystery of the greatness of God is seen precisely in the fact that he can be small. Only when power is changed from the inside and we accept Jesus and his way of life, whose whole self is there in the action of foot washing, only then can the world be healed and the people be able to live at peace with one another. Be willing to serve. Be willing to bow down as Jesus was for us. May we do it for one another, that many, many, many may come to know Christ. The opening prayer for the evening Mass of the Lord's Supper. O God, who have called us to participate in this most sacred supper, in which your only begotten Son, when about to hand himself over to death, entrusted to the Church a sacrifice new for all eternity, the banquet of his love. Grant, we pray, that we may draw from so great a mystery the fullness of charity and of life. The fullness of charity, love of one another, the fullness of life. That's what God has for us. Are you willing to be small? Are you willing to bow down? Are you willing to serve? You identify then with Christ, and you know the fruit more and more of his passion, his death, his glorious resurrection for you and for me. The first reading is from the book of Exodus, chapter 12, verses 1 to 8, and then 11 to 14. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall stand at the head of your calendar. You shall reckon it the first month of the year. Tell the whole community of Israel, on the 10th of this month, every one of your families must procure for itself a lamb, one apiece for each household. If a family is too small for a whole lamb, it shall join the nearest household in procuring one and shall share in the lamb in proportion to the number of persons who partake of it." Notice everybody got the same. "The lamb must be a year-old male and without blemish. You may take it from either the sheep or the goats. You shall keep it until the 14th day of this month, and then with the whole assembly of Israel present, it shall be slaughtered during the evening twilight. They shall take some of its blood and apply it to the two doorposts and the lintel of every house in which they partake of the lamb. That same night they shall eat its roasted flesh, with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. This is how you are to eat it: with your loins girt, sandals on your feet, your staff in hand. You shall eat like those who are in flight. It is the Passover of the Lord. For on this same night I will go through Egypt, striking down every firstborn of the land, both man and beast, and executing judgment on all the gods of Egypt, I the Lord. But the blood shall mark the houses where you are. Seeing the blood, I will pass over you. Thus, when I strike the land of Egypt, no destructive blow will come upon you." Brothers and sisters, in a symbolic sense, is the blood of Jesus Christ on the doorposts of your house? In other words, are you fully committed? Is it clear to whom you belong? Please pay attention to this. Ask God for help. It takes time to change, but don't put off. Do not put off till tomorrow what you should be doing right now. This day shall be a memorial feast for you, which all your generations shall celebrate with pilgrimage to the Lord as a perpetual institution. Here's the forerunner of the Eucharist. Psalm 116, our blessing cup is a communion with the blood of Christ. How shall I make a return to the Lord for all the good he has done for me? The cup of salvation I will take up, and I will call upon the name of the Lord. In other words, I will drink and eat the food he gives me, his body and his blood. And I will look to him for everything. Precious in the eyes of the Lord is the death of his faithful ones. I am your servant, the son of your handmaid. You have loosed my bonds. To you will I offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving. I will call upon the name of the Lord. My vows to the Lord I will pay in the presence of all his people. Make that prayer your own. Are you committed to the Lord? Are you vowed to him? Look what this God did. What more could he give you than his own body and his own blood? What more could he do for you? Why do you continue to be complacent? Why are you lukewarm? Why do you ignore? Someone died for you, and he knew you by name. He died for you. How shall I make a return to the Lord for all the good he has done for me? The second reading from 1 Corinthians 11, verses 23 to 26. Brothers and sisters, I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was handed over, took bread, and after he had given thanks, broke it and said, "This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way also the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the death of the Lord until he comes." That Jesus Christ gave everything for me. This is no symbolic gesture or, quote, ceremony. This is your God, your Savior, who gave everything he had. There is nothing more he could have given to show you his love and to make a way to heaven possible for you. Please, please think about these things. What is it in your life that needs to change? In the Gospel of John, chapter 13, verses 1 to 15. Before the feast of Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to pass from this world to the Father. He loved his own in the world, and he loved them to the end. The devil had already induced Judas, son of Simon the Iscariot, to hand him over. So during supper, fully aware that the Father had put everything into his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God, he rose from supper and took off his outer garments. He took a towel and tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and dry them with the towel around his waist. He was doing the most menial of tasks, showing that he was given to them in every way, knowing that they would betray him. He took a towel and tied it around his waist, and then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and dry them with the towel. And he came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Master, are you going to wash my feet?" I mean, that's what the lowliest of servants does, the slaves do. That you shouldn't be doing that. Those are my words, but that's what's implied here. "Are you going to wash my feet?" And Jesus answered and said to him, "What I am doing, you do not understand now, but you will understand later." And Peter has said to him, "You will never wash my feet." And Jesus answered him, "Unless I wash you, you will have no inheritance with me." And Simon Peter said to him, "Master, then not only my feet, but my hands and my head as well. Moment of conversion, bowing down in obedience to what Jesus asked. Simon Peter said to a master, then not only my feet, but my hands and my head as well. And Jesus said to him, whoever has bathed has no need except to have his feet washed, for he is clean all over. So you are clean, but not all. For he knew who would betray him. For this reason, he said, not all of you are clean. So when he had washed their feet and put his garments back on and reclined at table again, he said to them, do you realize what I have done for you? You call me teacher and master, and rightly so, for indeed I am. If I, therefore, the master and teacher, have washed your feet, now here it is, you ought to wash one another's feet. Jesus knew that Judas would betray him, yet he offered to serve him. Jesus knew that Peter would deny him, but he washed the feet of Peter. It's reaching out, brothers and sisters, being willing to serve, being willing to bring Christ to others, even those who in some way have hurt you. But you can't get there all at once. You start simply. Just reach out. Bless. You don't have to get down on your hands and knees and wash their feet, though sometimes that may be needed too. But to wash their feet in the sense of serve them in some way. Provide for them. Care for them. Return good for evil, even if they have offended you. When they are in need, serve them. Reach out. And Jesus Christ will draw closer to you because you will reflect him more. You will be a sign of his presence and lives will change. And brothers and sisters, for all eternity, you will know the blessing that comes from that. I really encourage you, if you have Magnificat magazine, to take a look at Father Deitcher's little meditation. I don't have the time to read it. It's called The Priesthood, the Eucharist, and God's Crazy Love. I'll try to put it online for you, but in the meantime, if you can, take a look at this. The Eucharist, looked at in deep faith, gives birth to the best priestly vocations because they come from Eucharistic love. They are the best. Vocations arise from deep love of the Blessed Sacrament. Apply Mother Teresa's words. It could be that you will be called from Mass to touch dying souls with God's love. God wants nothing more from the priest than to communicate to dying souls the truth that God does love you. That's the call to priests, but he goes on to talk about the call for each one of us. Brothers and sisters, heed these words of the gospel today. For the free copy of my booklet, Faith More Precious Than Gold, dial 1-800-282-4789. For the CD, 40 Days Journey, Encountering the Love of God, go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. Cost of the CD, $10. God bless you.